Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Samech Zion. We are here in the seventh parak of the Masechta. Seventh parak represents somewhat of a divergence from the general topic of the Masechta, discussing the mitzvah of Yibum for six parakim, with some off roads. But generally speaking, the mitzvah of Yibum has been the primary destination regarding all these dafim. However, with the seventh parak, so we took a left hand turn and we talked about. The ability of a Kohen to not only eat Truma, but to provide Truma for any of his Kinyanim. So as we discussed yesterday, Kinyan Kaspo, any of the acquisitions of a Kohen, are entitled to eat Truma. This would include his wife, Kinyan Kaspo. It would include his Avadim as well. Yesterday, with the beginning of the seventh parak, so we started the discussion regarding Avadim. An Eved of a Kohen is a Kinyan of a Kohen and therefore is allowed to eat Truma. But here's where it gets complicated. A woman goes into a marriage, and when she goes into a marriage, so she could bring Avadim as well. A woman can own an Eved as much as a man can own an Eved. And when she goes into a marriage, so what does she do with her assets in general when going into a marriage? So they could be bundled in one of two different ways when entering into a marriage. Either they could be bundled as Nechsei Tzom Barzo, or they could be bundled as Nechsei Melog. And again, let's just quickly articulate what the difference is between those two. Nechsei Tzom Barzel. So what's going to happen is at the time of the marriage, they're going to appraise the items, and the appraised amount is going to be written into the ksuva, so that upon death or divorce, either the husband or the estate, or I'll do it in better order. Upon death or divorce, either the estate or the husband is going to pay out the ksuva payment, including the general lump sum of the ksuva, which is generally 200 zuz, plus any of the appraised items that were put into the ksuva. Let's say the item itself appreciated, belongs to the husband. That appreciated value belongs to the husband. It depreciates, husband's going to suffer it. Meaning, Nechsei Tzom Barzel is effectively the husband's. The other way that she can bring money into the marriage is what's called Nechsei Melug. Nechsei Melug means the items are going to fundamentally be the wife's, it'll remain hers, but because they're married and because he has certain financial obligations to her, so he's going to be able to enjoy the payros of that item. So for a simple example, she brings a car into the marriage and she wants to keep that car as Nechsei Melug, so the car is hers, the title of the car stays in her name, but he gets to drive the car around. Okay, that's the general idea behind Nechsei Melug. Okay, with that stated, so here's now where it gets a little bit complicated. So she comes into the marriage and she brings Avadim into the marriage. Some of those Avadim are Nechsei Tzom Barzel and some of them are Nechsei Melug. So are the Avadim allowed to eat Truma? In other words, then she married a Kohen and she herself is not a Kohen. So are Avadim allowed to eat Truma upon the marriage? So the answer is depends. Generally speaking, the answer is going to be yes, because what difference does it make? If it's Nechsei Tzom Barzel, see, Avdei Tzom Barzel belong to him, and as his kinyanim, they're allowed to eat it. If the Avadim are Nechsei Melug, so they belong to her, but so what? They belong to her, and she belongs to him, and so therefore, kinyano de kinyan, like we mentioned yesterday, so they can eat it. Okay, so in that circumstance, it's both sets of Avadim are allowed to eat. But as we pointed out yesterday, this was the first point of the Mishnah. And admittedly, the first point of the Mishnah is by far and away the most complicated point of all these points that we're making, and that is, let's say, it was a prohibited marriage, i.e. it was a almana to a Kohen Gadol or grusha v'chalutza to a Kohen Hedyot. And now what happens? So what happens now is that when they have their first act of bia, she becomes a chalala. Now banned, barred, prohibited from eating truma. Now what happens to the avadim? So the avdik's own barzo are allowed to eat. Why? Because they're directly owned by him. And so therefore they're allowed to eat the truma. But the avdein melug are not allowed to eat truma. Why? Because they're owned by her and she's a chalala. And because she's a chalala and banned, restricted from eating truma, therefore her avadim can no longer eat truma as well. Now, is that a fundamental point or is that a din derabbanan? So that goes back to yesterday's daffin. And there were two approaches in terms of how to do it, how to say it over. Really three, but anyway, that becomes a discussion that we saw yesterday in the Gemara. Okay, good. That is a brief introduction to our parak, all which goes back to yesterday's daf. And now let's go move on to the next topic. Next topic, which we started yesterday, which we're going to finish up today, is going to be a ksuvas question, a very general discussion regarding Nechsei Tzom Barzel. Nechsei Tzom Barzel, so as we pointed out, you appraise the value upon marriage, and he will be, he, the husband, will be obligated upon death or divorce to reimburse for the appraised value. But the item stays by him. Okay. Let's say upon death or divorce, or let's say divorce. Let's keep it simple. Let's say upon divorce, this is now no longer a truma discussion, no longer an evid discussion. This is just a general question regarding nechsei tzon barzel. Let's say upon divorce, she says to him, look, the item was appraised at $1,000. It happens to be that right now, currently, it didn't go up, it didn't go down, it's $1,000, and I want to take the item back. So, he says, no, I'll pay you for the item, meaning because that's what the ksuva demands that I do, but I'm not going to give you the item back. And so they're at a, they're butting heads in terms of whether or not she gets the item back or she does not get the item back. Who's right? Who's gonna win this fight? So, well, what we learned yesterday, machlokas amarayim. So there were two shitas, obviously, right?
Makes sense.
So, all right, we have two sides. So Rav Yehuda is of the position hadinima. So Rav Yehuda says that she's right. She gets to keep it. And as the Gemara explained why, in other words, it is nechsei tzon barzel. It is fundamentally his. Yeah, it is fundamentally his. But the argument on behalf of Rav Yehuda is that it is shevach beis aviyah. It's a family heirloom. In other words, this idea of family heirloom is basically has a halachic connotation to it, and it allows her to be able to take back the item. Okay, in a moment, we're going to ask the simple question of, what if, let's say, its appraised value, what if its current value is higher or lower than its original appraised value? Hold that thought, we're going to ask that question momentarily. But anyway, that's the shita of Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, Rabbi Ami is of the position of Hadinimo. No, it's his. It's his item. Yes, he's going to have to pay her for the appraised value of the item, but the item is fundamentally his. And so what we did over the course of yesterday's stuff is that we litigated which of these positions seems to be the more sound position, which is supported by a Braisa, which is not supported by a Braisa. As we're about to point out, they're both supported by Braisas.
In our time, it's basically like a lease with a guaranteed sale. Basically, he's buying it, but he's just going to like actualize the sale later. But
okay,
lease option to buy.
Fine. Right. So the from the Gemara standpoint, it is, in other words, for sure, according to Rabbi Ami, it's ownership. It's ownership, just with the responsibility of paying for its appraised value. But it's ownership. Okay, so Yosef Rabbah, so now we're picking up right where we left off yesterday. If you remember yesterday, we did a Mishnah and Truma. Actually, we did two Mishnayos and Trumas. The Mishnayos certainly seem to indicate that an appraised item, where now you get to keep the item, but with the promise to pay back for its appraised value, is in the rishus of the person currently holding it. Right? Meaning, the Mishnah and Trumas is not talking about husband and wife, but the Mishnah in Truma certainly would seem to indicate that it belongs to the husband. Okay, anyway. Yosef, Rabbah, Rav Yosef, on Samech Vav Amud Beis, a little less than halfway down in the Amud. It's the first word in the line. Yosef, Rabbah, Rav Yosef, Bishilei, Pirkei, de Rav Nachman. V'yasev, V'kamre. So two Amoraim sitting in the shir of Rav Nachman, and they said, Tanya Kavasei, de Rav Yehuda, V'tanya Kavasei, de Rabbi Ami. We have Braisa supporting both the position of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Ami. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Ami avdei tzon barzel yotzim b'shein v'ayin liisha v'lo liisha. So you have the avdei tzon barzel. So we know that if the owner of an Eved Kanani is abusive to the point where he knocks out shein v'ayin, either tooth or an eye, and it's not limited to a tooth or an eye, it would include any appendages, but anyway, knocks it out, right? Was so abusive, it knocks it out. So that causes an immediate cheiros. In other words, a release from his avdus. So, when it comes to nichsei tzon barzel, so who has to knock out the eved's tooth? Is it the husband or the wife? So here the Bryson says very clearly, the husband's got to knock it out. Because it's his. Ah, okay, good. That certainly is going to be super supportive of Rabbi Ami. Tanya Kavasei de Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, we have a Bryson supporting Rabbi Yehuda. Hamachdesa shum labala imrasa habal limkor lo yimkor. So if she brings in husband and wife. If she brings in property appraised at the time of the marriage, and so if the husband wants to sell, he cannot. V'lo od ala afilu hichnas la shum mishalo. Imratza habal limkor lo yimkor. Furthermore, even if she brings in appraised property, the husband cannot sell it. Machru shneim le parnasa, And let's say they both agree that they're going to sell the item. So Rav Shimon Gamla was asked a question and he said no. In other words, that item has a lien on it. It's secured in it and needs to remain in the marriage. And Rav Shimon Gamla actually took it back from the Lekuchos. Now, the purchaser is obviously going to get a reimbursement for the item, but still, in other words, the item belongs to them. And furthermore, the husband does not have a right to sell it because the item still is able to be collected by the wife at a future point in time. Anyway, so this price certainly is going to be sounding like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Ami. I'm a Rav Nachman, I'll look at Rabbi Yehuda. So, where does the Gemara conclude on this? Meaning we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Ami. Nichsei Tzon Barzel, can the wife collect the actual item itself at the end of the marriage? So, the Gemara says, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, she can. She can collect the actual item itself. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember, just not so long ago, minutes earlier, we had a brisa going like Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara says, okay, good. I have a brisa going like Rabbi Ami, and also we just had a brisa going like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says, yeah, but when all is said and done, the svara of Rabbi Yehuda seems to be more compelling. Right? The argument of family heirloom. Okay, in other words, she brought this into the marriage and it was appraised. And yes, it's true. During the duration of the marriage, it's his. But at the same time, however, if and when the marriage terminates and she's collecting, she can collect the actual item itself. It's a family heirloom.
She really wanted to preserve that. Wouldn't she be better off and bring it as a next day milug?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. Yes. Just leave it at that. It certainly sounds that way. But now that the Gemara concludes that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, so the Nechzei Tzon Barzel also should be able to take the item. But as we'll see in just a moment, it's as Nechzei Tzon Barzel, she will be. She knows that she's always going to be locked in for the appraised original value, so that she has that kind of financial security. Okay, so a woman brought in to the marriage a really fancy article of clothing. All right, milasa is some sort of fine fabric, maybe silk. Either way, doesn't matter. Anyway, and what she wanted to do is she wanted to make sure that its value is going to be locked in. So she brought in a stone barzel. And now, shachiv, the husband died. Shaklua yasme parsua amisna. So the kids did the following, and okay, nice, not nice. I'm not going to judge right now, as we're just right now interested in the halacha. And what they did is they took that article of clothing, they laid it on top of the mace, let's say as tachrichin, and now what? Now she wants it back. Okay, so as we're going to learn together, she does not get it back. Okay, so Amar Rava Kanyamisna. So Rava says that the mace has been kona. So,
but how about a maid be kona?
So, okay. So, when the Gemara says that the mace is kona, so as Rashi points out over here, so we're not saying that the mace is actually kona. What we are saying over here is that this item now is going to be like hekdesh. So we know that anything servicing a mace is going to be aser b'hana. We know it based on a limud. It's a gzeira shava. We learn it from Egla Rufa. I'm not going to go through the limud right now. So anyway, so since this is servicing the mace, so now this is a like hekdesh. And so the word kinyan over here, not to be understood literally, kinyan just simply means that this item now is going to be assigned, designated to the mace, and therefore is going to have a status of hekdesh. Okay, so this gets interesting because we have now an item that was secured, meaning that although it's Nechzei Tzon Barzel, and although the husband, in this case the estate, is going to have to pay for its value, but at the same time, we just concluded that halacha is like Rav Yehuda. We just concluded that instead of taking the payout, she could take the item itself. So, but nevertheless, in this particular circumstance, now that they took the article of clothing and laid it over the mace and gave it a hektesh status, she doesn't get it back. That demands an explanation. The Gemara is going to give an explanation. So, Amrle na'ane b'rei de Rav Yosef, b'rei de Rava, l'rav kahana v'amar Rav, amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara here formulates the question, I don't understand. We just learned that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Nechzei Tzon Barzel can be collected by the wife. So over here, allow her to collect her Nechzei Tzon Barzel. So the Amarle, Milo Moda Rav Yehuda de Mechusa Gubaina. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but Rav Yehuda will have to admit In other words, there's a certain reality that exists over here, and that is it is not yet collected. It still needs to be collected. So as much as it's hers, but with a collection. And over here, the kevin de mechusar gavayin bereshu seikai. So before the collection, it's his. In other words, okay, this item's status of who the owner is, it's a little bit complicated. It's his, but she, because she has a mortgage, she, the word mortgage may not be the best way to describe it, but you'll see why I use that word. She basically has a mortgage. She has a lien on this item. So now she's totally entitled to collect it, but she hasn't done so yet. And what do we know? Rava Latami, Dama Rava. We get to hear this a bunch of times in Shas. We heard this earlier in the Masechta. We heard this. We're going to hear this in Ksuvos, Gittin, Nedarim. We're going to hear this again in Baba Kama. Okay, so we're Baruch Hashem. So this is this comes up numerous times, which is Hekdesh, Chametz, Shechur Mafkim Midei Shibud. So what's going to release a lien? A lien releaser is going to be one of three things: Hekdesh, Chametz, or Shechur. So Chametz and Shechur right now we don't have to discuss. In fact, we're not going to discuss right now because of time consideration. But we are going to focus on Hekdesh. And that means to say as follows. Let's say you have an animal that's securing a loan. And let's say the owner of the animal, knowing that there's a lien on this animal, says, you know what? I'm going to bring this animal as a carbon. And he's makdish the animal as a carbon. What happens to the animal now? The animal gets kedushas carbon. And as far as the lien holder is concerned, unfortunate. But now the lien has been released. It's a lien releaser. Right, Hekdesh. Two other things are also lien releasers as well. So this be one of them. Okay, and as Rashi points out over here, we're going to say the same thing over here. Meaning when they took the garment, now she has a lien on that garment. But when they took the garment and put it over the mace, so that mace now is kihekdesh. Now this is where we're stretching it just a little bit. Because obviously it's not Hekdesh, but it's kihekdesh. It's like Hekdesh. And as Rashi points out on the Amud Beis, right, the whole reason why we learn that anything used for a mace is considered like Hekdesh is because we learn it from Egla Rufa. And Egla Rufa is it's a quasi-carbon. It's not really a carbon. Okay, I understand. It's a bit of a stretch, but we're stretching. And so therefore, because now she's mechusar gabayna and all she has right now on the article is just a lien, and because now the article was used for a mace, and because the mace is considered like Hekdesh, so therefore it's a lien releaser. Her lien has been released. Now, granted, by the way, the estate still owes her the money. That goes without saying. But as far as her ability to actually collect the item itself, no longer. Okay, we continue. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. We're on Samach Zayin Amad Aleph. We're on the top. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Echnisa lo shnei kelim ke'elef zuz. Sorry, not ke. And I even have my glasses on. That's fantastic. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Echnisa lo shnei kelim be'elef zuz. So let's say she brought in two kelim into the marriage again. Nichseit zon barzel kelim. And be'elef zuz. And it was the price for 1,000 zuz. Okay, now. Marriage ends. And she wants to collect the items. Here's a small problem. They appreciate in value significantly. V'shivcha v'amdo shnei alafim. So now they went up twice the value. Okay, that was a wonderful investment. So now they're double in value. So what does she do at the end of the marriage? She's, because it's on Barzal property, so she's only due for the original appraised value. On the other hand, they're family heirlooms. So what can she do? So the Gemara tells us. Echen olasa b'ksuvasa. So one of them she'll just simply take, because one of them is appraised for 1,000. Now ve'echen osen esdamim v'nolosim in meshevach b'esavia. Ah. And for the other one, she has a right to buy. Ah, this now goes to your consideration earlier. Right, at least with the right to buy. So in other words, the second one she's going to have to buy. Meaning because she's only entitled to 1,000 at the original appraised value, and because they doubled in value, so therefore one of them she could take because that was she was entitled to, but the second one she can take, but she's going to have to pay for it. So my kamash v'lan shevach b'tzavia didahave. So the Gemara said, the Gemara is right now currently unimpressed with what we just learned, meaning isn't it obvious? And as the Gemara is about to point out, not so obvious. Meaning, ha, amra, Rav Yehuda, chadazimna. So the Gemara says, isn't this just simply a reflection of the Shita Rav Yehuda? The Gemara says, of course, not necessarily. No, I might have thought that Rav Yehuda would allow her to take the item back only when its value is equal to the appraised value. Equal to, or maybe even less than the appraised value. But over here, this is a bigger chiddush. Over here, it exceeds the appraised value. And now in order for her to take it, she's going to have to pay for it. Maybe we wouldn't entitle her to do so. That's a chiddush, kamash malan. And the Gemara says, good. So it's a chiddush, but obviously what we're learning over here is a chiddush. So at first the Gemara was unimpressed with the chiddush, and the Gemara recognizes, no, it is a chiddush. That not only can she take back the item, but even if she has to pay for it, she could still take it back. That's a chiddush. Okay.
In terms of property of a woman before getting married, once she gets married, she has two options.
She can either bring it in.
Like neutral, I don't want it to be.
No, it doesn't exist. It has to go in one or two categories.
And then once she buys something during the marriage, she has to declare which one she wants.
During the marriage, any property she gets during the marriage, I think it's too late for Tzom Barzal. I will double check because I'm not sure, but I think during any asset she gets during marriage will have to will automatically just roll in as malug.
Could she actually gain assets because it doesn't go to the husband?
In other words, she has bailus. She has ownership capabilities even while she's married. It just happens to be that the maisa yadayim is her earnings. Okay, now I feel like an accountant. Maisa yadayim is her earnings. No. So fine. So maisa yadayim are going to go to her husband. But if it's not earnings, let's say it's a matana. Let's say it's a yerusha. In other words, what's it called? Happens to be, I don't know the answer, but let's say it's dividends. Okay. Dividends are considered like earnings. Now back to doing my taxes. Okay, fine. Yes.
And the second kli that she has to purchase.
Yeah.
Why don't we say achloko here? They pay half.
There's no dispute about how much money she's entitled to. There's no dispute. Yachloku is only when there's a dispute. There's no dispute about how much money she's entitled to. She's only entitled to the appraised value.
At the time of marriage.
Right. So what are we dividing over here?
The appreciation.
No. Any appreciation goes to him.
But she wants the object.
It's good, so she's going to have to pay for it.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, so I guess.
Yeah, right. Okay. We are now on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're starting now the new Mishnah. New Mishnah over here, more on Kohen and Truma. Again, let's reset. I know this is basic, but we just need to know this information in order to really understand and appreciate the Mishnah. Okay, so if you have a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, so again, upon marriage, she can now eat Truma. Now, if I could just break it down a little bit better, we know this already, but I'm just reviewing and repeating information that's good to review and repeat. At the point of Kedushin already, she can eat Truma. But as we already learned, the Chachamim stepped in at that point in time and said, no, don't eat Truma at this point in time. Meaning, yes, you are his Kenyan, right? Kedushin is a Kenyan. So yes, you are his Kenyan, but don't eat at the point of Kedushin because they're not living together. She'll take some Truma home in a doggy bag. She'll bring it back to her family. Okay. And another consideration as well. Anyway. But after Kedushin and after Nisuin, now our Bas Yisrael, fully married to the Kohen, is allowed to eat Truma. Conversely, if I have a Bas Kohen who was eating Truma already at the point, all her life together with her family, if she elects to marry Bas Yisrael, which she totally is allowed to do, so once she's married to the Bas Yisrael, so now her husband is going to restrict her from eating Truma. Okay, good. Let's say they have children. So again, just follow the cases. So if she was a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen and she had a child, that child now is going to be a machil. That child will allow her, entitle her to eat Truma. Okay? And as we learned in yesterday's daf, and this one is a real brain teaser, even if that child is not a Kohen. What?
How could that be?
So we learned yesterday because we could be talking about a grandchild. Meaning that in the event that, let's say, with her husband, she's a Bas Yisrael with a Kohen, and they have, let's say, daughters, and those daughters married Yisraelim, and they have children, and her daughter, Rachmanis, died. But as long as she has a child from her late Kohen husband, she's allowed to eat Truma. That child is going to be a machil. Conversely, if I have a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, and she has a child, that child now is going to restrict her. And that will disqualify her from eating Truma because she has a child with Yisrael, and that child will restrict her from eating Truma. Okay? So these are the really basic pieces of information, the building blocks for our Mishnah. Let's start with our Mishnah. Bas Yisrael shenisus haKohen umes. So let's say a Bas Yisrael was married to a Kohen and Rachmanis, he died. And now v'hinichu me'ubra Sorry, I was right the first time. Mu'ubaris, and now he leaves her pregnant. So she is now pregnant with her late Cohen's, with her late husband's child. So lo achlu avadeha bitruma mimne chelko sheubar. So here, a really interesting halacha. And again, we're going to have to apply thought over here. Her avadim are not going to be able to eat truma. Let me say a little bit better. His avadim are not able to eat truma. Why? Because of the fetus. Okay. Now that requires thought, right? I see everyone's wheels are turning. That's good. So that requires thought. Why that should be. And so the Mishnah says, Sha'uber posel ve'eino machel. Because as far as an Uber is concerned, an Uber is going to do one of two things, both in the negative direction. Number one, a posel, meaning that if, let's say, there was a previous entitlement for a woman to eat truma, and now she's pregnant. Let's say she's pregnant with a husband who was a Yisrael, so that fetus is going to posel. It will restrict her from eating truma. Also, eino machel. Let's say that the fetus. In our case over here, where the fetus is inside of her, she's married to a Kohen. She herself can eat truma, but the fetus inside of her is not yet born, meaning it's a fetus. So eino machel, the fetus will not allow others to eat truma. Like in our case over here, who is the fetus blocking from eating truma? The Kohen's avadim, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. Div Reb Yossi, this is the sheet of Reb Yossi. Amar lo me'achar she'ed lanu. Abasi sol ha'kohen. So the Gemara says, well, they say to Reb Yossi, really, that's fascinating. That's so interesting. Meaning you're telling me that the fetus that lies inside of a Basi sol married to a Kohen is going to be a truma blocker? So the Gemara says, af bas kohen le'kohen, umeis, v'inichu mu'ber, slo yochlu avedeha, b'truma m'nei chelko she'ubar. So how about this? How about if a Kohen's married to a Kohen? A Bas Kohen married to a Kohen, and she's now pregnant, and he dies. So shouldn't the same fetus now be a blocker? Okay, so that's what the Chachamim say back to Reb Yossi. Meaning, once you say that a fetus is a Truma blocker, so what difference does it make whether she's a Bas Yisrael or whether she's a Bas Kohen? Okay. In a moment, we're going to clarify the Shita of the Chachamim, but right now, we are focusing on the Shita of Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says that in the event that a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen and he impregnates her and he dies. So now that fetus is going to be an inhibitor, a blocker. This fetus now will prevent the Avadim from eating Truma. That required, demands an explanation. The Gemara is going to give an explanation, not just one, but two explanations. So, Ibailu, time of the Reb Yossi, Mishum de Kasabra, Uber Memezara Zarhu. So explanation number one, really interesting. Look, when that child is born into this world, the child will be either the son or the daughter of a Kohen, whichever gender, don't matter. So either the son or the daughter of the Kohen, meaning Ben Kohen or Bas Kohen, right? Dad was a Kohen. So when this child comes to this world, the child is going to be a Kohen with all the rights and privileges of eating truma. But that's only after birth. But in other words, as a fetus, so the fetus's status is a czar. I know that's...
Is that rabbinic?
Doesn't sound that way.
What's the source?
Right. Really good question. O Dilma, I don't have a prepared answer. O Dilma, Yulud Machel, She'ena Yulud Eina Machel. The Gemara says, or possibly as follows. In other words, once the child is born, the child now has not only the capacity to eat, but to feed. In other words, the rights given of a Kohen to allow others to eat, that's only after birth. But in utero, in other words, let's assume that the status is a Kohen in utero. But just simply does not have the capacity to allow others to eat. This idea of a yulud being machel is only after leida, but not in utero. So those are two different svaras in terms of understanding the shita of Rav Yossi. Lamai nafkamina luber me kohenis. So the Gemara says nafkamina, of course, would be, let's say she's not a bas yisrael, but let's say she's a bas kohen. So if she's a bas kohen, so now let's go over both of our svaras. If the svara is that we're going to go with the first svara that the child in utero is a czar, yeah, that's if mom was a czar. But if mom was a bas kohen, so then the uterus inside should be a kohen, and therefore giving everyone a right to eat. If, on the other hand, we're going to go with the second svara, that only a yulud is going to be machel, but an eino yulud, but a fetus in utero just simply does not have this capacity. So here also, yes, it's true that the fetus inside has a kohen status, but so what? Does not have the capacity to be machel.
The mother can eat
truma? Now the mother at this point in time depends. If she already has children previously, so then she can. And if this is the only child that she's having right now, so not yet. Meaning she's going to have to wait until the child's born.
Does she have to wait like 30 days to make sure he's viable or no?
Probably. I'm not sure. Okay, so my. So I'm a rabbi behind the time of the Rav Yosef because I have a ube me mezara zaru. So the Gemara says, no, the shita behind, the reason behind Rav Yosef is because the fetus inside is a zar. Meaning we're going to go with the option A. That as a Bas Yisrael, even though she was impregnated by her husband, it was a Kohen. But in other words, while the fetus is developing inside of her, that fetus will have the status of a czar, may be related. The Gemara does not say this. So I'm saying this with a little bit of hesitancy. But maybe related to Uber Yerchimo, maybe. But anyway, but certainly the point is that in utero, it's not a Kohen yet, and only going to become a Kohen after it's born. Now, this is a point which I really have not clearly articulated as of yet. And so what? Meaning, and so why is this fetus now going to prevent the avadim from eating truma? So Rashi already said this, and I haven't yet really spelled this out, but now is a good time to do so. And that is as follows, because we have to take the following into consideration. Meaning, who because of this fetus, who's unable to eat truma? Well, again, as far as the woman is concerned, if she already has children, she'll be able to continue to eat truma. The group of people right now who are going to be banned, restricted from eating truma are going to be the avadim. Meaning, the Mishnah says it. Meaning, I'm not saying anything novel. I'm just simply highlighting. And the Mishnah says that our focus is on the avadim. Well, why? Why can't the avadim eat truma? Meaning, if their children are ready, so you know who the avadim belong to? Belong to the children of a Kohen. They're Kohanim. So the avadim now are part and parcel of the estate of Kohanim. And so therefore, the avadim should still be able to eat truma. What is going on that this fetus over here is going to be restricting the avadim from eating? So now, what I'm saying is just simple pshat in our Gemara. But it's not so simple, but that's the simple pshat in our Gemara. And that is that what we're regarding is the fetus as a shareholder of the estate. That's strange. But the fetus now is a shareholder of the estate. As such, so now, who is one of the shareholders of the estate? A czar, a non-Kohen. And of course, at this point in time, we don't know which part of the estate goes to which Yoresh. And so therefore, it's possible that one of the Avadim are going to be owned by the future son-to-be, the fetus inside. But because he's a czar, so therefore, we're going to be regarding every Eved as a possible inheritor of that Ubar. And that's why there will be a restriction of all the avadim from eating truma. Okay. That's the simple, I know it's not simple, but that's a simple explanation of how to understand the shita of Reb Yossi.
Is it not contradictory? On one hand, you're saying that he's born so he has Yerusha, and then on the other hand, he's not born because he's not Kohen. He's a czar. I mean, one or the other. Either he is this or that. I mean, either he's a czar or he doesn't have any Yerusha.
Right. Trying to pinpoint the status of a fetus is always tricky business. It's always tricky business, right? I've heard a little bit about this in the news lately. So so over here, so Reb Yossi, the way he's framing it is that it is right now a Yoresh, even though in utero, and not a Kohen yet, because that only happens at the point of Leda. Okay, I understand it's complicated. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. So Rav Yosef Amar Yulud Machel Shein Yulud Ena Machel. Sorry. No. What happened? Okay. Rav Yosef Amar. Sorry. I stopped right in the middle. Amar Rabba. Sorry. All right. So I'm going to start from Amar Rabba. Okay. I see what I did. Amar Rabba Hainu Tam Rav Yosef Kasavar Uber Mezar Zarhu. Okay. So Rabba's of the opinion that we're going to go with option A. That an ubar inside of her is a czar. Rav Yosef, Amar Yulud Machel, Shein Yulud in a Machel. And Rav Yosef says, I'm going to go with option B, meaning that a Yulud is going to be a Machel, but Eino Yulud is Eino Machel. Just simply does not have the capacity to allow others to eat. Okay, so, in other words, We have two svaras behind Rabbi Yossi, and we have a machlokas amoraim in terms of which side we're going to favor. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa amar lo Rabbi Yossi. So they say to Rabbi Yossi, Me'achashi, Ad Talanu, Abbas Yisrael, Lekoin, Bas Koin, Lekoin, Mahu. So they say to Rabbi Yossi, so interesting, right? Abbas Yisrael married to a Koin, and you're telling me now that the Avadim can't eat because she's pregnant? What about Abbas Koin to a Koin? So Amar Lam's, so Rav Yossi's response is, I know there's a difference, I just can't articulate the difference. Zu Shamati Vizulo Shamati. This one I heard, this one I did not hear. Okay, but so I know there's a difference. Now that's the end of the Braisa. And so we got a sentence of dialogue between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. But now the Gemara says, but that was very telling, wasn't it? Imar Bishlama Uber Beme Zarazarhu Hainu de Kamerle Zu Shamati Vizulo Shamati. If we're going to go with the first Svara, that the developing fetus inside of the mother, who's a Bas Yisrael, is a Zar, so then I can understand how Rav Yossi is saying, look, in this case, the fetus is going to be a problem, but in the case of a Kohen, I don't know, and I could see a difference. Of course you could see a difference if the Svara is the fetus is of a Bas Yisrael is a Zar, it would lead us to think that the fetus inside of a Bas Kohen is a Kohen. So I can understand why Rav Yossi would say, Zushamati, Zulo Shamati. Elai Amar Yulud Machel, Shein Yulud Ein Machel. But if it's just a function of capacity, in other words, a fetus just simply does not have the ability to be Machel, so then what difference does it make what mom is? Mom's a Bas Yisrael, mom's a Bas Kohen, it shouldn't matter. And Rav Yossi would not be able to articulate any kind of difference. And why would he say, Zushamati Vizulo Shamati? E-he-he. It's the same thing. Meaning it's just simply the fetus's inability does not have the capacity to feed others. So Kasha. So the Gemara says, you're right. Meaning if what we had was that Braisa, we certainly sounds like we're favoring the first Svara, not the second Svara. The Svara of a fetus inside of a Bas Yisrael is a Zar. It sounds like we're favoring that Svara. Okay. What do we have right now? So we have a somewhat complicated debate. First of all, we have the Shita Rabbi Yossi, that if a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen and the Kohen dies leaving her pregnant, so now are the Avadim able to eat Truma at this stage before birth? No. Rabbi Yossi says no. And the reason why he says no is because the fetus is blocking. It's a Truma blocker. Why is the fetus a Truma blocker? So we have in front of us right now two Svaras in terms of why. One possibility is because the fetus right now has the status of a czar, and he is now a shareholder in the Avadim. And so since the shareholder in the Avadim is a czar, so at this juncture, the Avadim cannot eat Truma. Now again, by the way, after birth, so then he's going to become a Kohen, and then everyone, the Avadim are going to be able to resume eating Truma. That's one possibility. A second possibility is that the fetus inside is an Eino Machel, does not have the capacity to go ahead and allow others to eat. So, right, which is, again, strange. Hedy made this point earlier, it's a hard part to process. Meaning enough of an entity where he's considered a shareholder, but not enough of an entity where he could provide others the ability to eat. Okay, so that's where we are right now. And we know that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so with that stated, we continue. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel Zudiv Rabbi Yossi. Ava chachamim amrim, yesh labanim ochlim mishum banim, ein labanim ochlim mishum achim, ein lo achim ochlim mishum mishpacha kula. So, the Gemara notes that, that according to Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, everything we learned is the Shita Rav Yossi, but the chachamim say no. That if there already are sons previously, so the Avadim can eat as a result of the sons. If there are no sons, they can eat as a result of the brothers. If there are no brothers, they can eat as a result of other family members. Meaning, we don't have to take the fetus into account whatsoever. In other words, the fetus right now, vis-a-vis the Avadim's ability to eat, is just simply not going to be a consideration. So, Zuvalos Virulei. So the Gemara says, yeah. So although Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is of the position that the Chachamim argue on Rav Yossi, but Shmuel himself doesn't hold that way. Ha Amar Le Shmuel Rav Chana Bagdasa. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Shmuel says to Rav Chana Bagdasa, poke Isili Be'asara. So go gather for me 10 people because I want to publicize this halacha. Right? We saw this back at the end of Sefer Rus. right? That when you want to publicize the halacha, so you get 10 people together. And that is that an Uber can be Kona. So wait one second. Now, you're telling me that Rav Yehuda or Shmuel doesn't, or let's just focus on Shmuel. You're telling me that Shmuel doesn't hold like Rav Yossi? I'm telling you, he does. I'm a zakala Uber Kana. That you want to make an acquisition towards an Uber, you may do so. So Elazuva Sfirale. So the Gemara says, okay, so edit. Meaning that this is the opinion of Rav Yossi. I mean, this is what Shmuel said. This is the opinion of Rav Yossi, and I hold of this position. So my Kamashmalan depili Rabban Allah de Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, and all he wanted us to know is that not everyone's on board with Rav Yossi. There are those who argue with Rav Yossi. The truth of the matter is that we already knew that in our Mishnah, but not as clearly from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah, you certainly knew that they didn't like the Svara of Rav Yossi. But to go out fully and argue on Rav Yossi, are there a group of Chachamim who do? So we just learned together, yes, there are a group of Chachamim who do. But as far as Shmuel's position is concerned, he actually, lahalacha, subscribes to Rav Yossi. In that, an Uber is considered a person, entity, however you want to say it. Somebody you can make a kinyan with. Umi pligi, the Gemara says, Mesav Rav Zakai, zu edus heid Rav Yossi, mi pishmai v'avtayin, v'hodulo. So the Gemara says, okay, but this is edus that goes all the way back to Shmai v'avtayin, right, the fourth of the Zugos. And they agree with him. Amar Ravashi Mikatani Vikiblu Vahodulo Kitani. I'm sorry, Mikatani Vikiblu Vahodulo Kitani. The Mistabra Taima. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. All we meant to say is that they heard him. Not that they accepted his position, but in other words, okay, fine. The position certainly has legs on what to stand on, but we don't know that they necessarily paskin like him. Anyway, when all said and done, what really comes down to at the end of this discussion is, can you make kinyanim with an Uber? And it's a machlokus, and Shmuel's of the position, yes, you can. And as far as now how that would reflect on our discussion, so we go back to our Mishnah, and just a simple recap of our Mishnah. Now, according to Rav Yossi, when the late Kohen left her pregnant, and now let's assume that there were other sons as well, the Kohanim cannot eat Truma. So why? Because the fetus inside is now considered, even as a fetus, the fetus inside is considered a shareholder. And as such, again, there are two different ways you could say it. Either he's not yet a Kohen in utero, and that's why they can't eat, or an Eino Yulod Eino Machil. He just simply does not have the capacity to allow others to eat. So in other words, one of the Avadim's owners is somebody who cannot allow them to eat. Okay, however you say it, the fetus is an entity that is going to be considered a shareholder. Okay, Tana Rabbanan.
What about the fact that the slaves have to be maintained? If there's only truma available, what happens? I mean, they have to survive.
I mean, there's plenty of food you can eat outside of the world of truma. Truma is not their only diet.
If it's only truma, like the coin only has truma.
Okay. There's a world of food out there that's not truma. So, and they're going to, right? It'll be difficult. You're right. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Hiniach banim. Eila ve'ela ochlim. Okay. So, in this brisa, so let's get this straight. So we're going to be discussing now, we're going back to our discussion of Avdei Tzon Barzal and Avdei Malug. And now we're going to be talking about various scenarios in which, who can eat truma. So, Hiniach banim. So let's say the Kohen died and he left sons. So Eilav Eila Ochlim. So they can eat. Meaning both the Avdei Malug and the Avdei Tzon Barzel. Right? Rashi. Eilav Eila Avdei Malug Avdei Tzon Barzel Ochlim. The Avdei Malug Ochlim Bishvila Shi Ochelos Bishvil Baneha. Meaning as far as the Avdei Malug are concerned, so let's just consider. Meaning as far as the widow is concerned, she's eating Truma. Why? Because she has sons. And again, sons will allow her, even if she's not a bas kohen. Sons, and she had sons with the kohen, so the sons will allow her to eat. And the avdei malug are hers, good. And so they can eat as a result of her. Meaning she can eat truma, and her kinyanim can eat truma. And now, as far as the avdei tzon barzel concerned, okay, they belong to the kids. They're part of the estate. Okay, now, again, by the way, try to fit this to what we learned at the beginning of today's daf. Because we talked about family heirlooms and her ability to take back the Tzon Barzel. Okay, so I will ask for all of us, myself included, to forget. Not totally. In other words, we're going to say it simply. That right now the Avdei Tzon Barzel is his. And when he dies, they belong to the kids. And so the kids are Kohanim, so the Avdei Tzon Barzel can eat as well. Okay, that's one. So, So now, let's say the Kohen dies, leaving her pregnant. And no other children. Now what? So, nobody can eat. Right? Why? Because again, as far as the fetus is concerned, he's an enomachel. Right? I'll stick with svar number two. I'll try to keep it simple. He's an enomachel. So in other words, right now, the fetus is going to be a truma blocker. Okay. Hinicha, and nobody can eat truma. Not the Avdei Maluk, not the Avdei Tzon Barzel. Hinich banim v'hinichu mul beres. So now, let's say, when the Kohen dies, he left already children already born, and he left her pregnant as well. Now what? So Avdei Maluk ochlin, kederach shi ocheles. Ah. So as far as the Avdei Maluk are concerned, they're hers. Is she allowed to eat truma? 100%. Because she has children. So she's allowed to eat truma. If she can eat truma, her avadim can eat truma. Aye, but what about the Avdei Tzon Barzel? They can't eat truma. So why can't they eat truma? Avdei Tzon Barzel lo yochlim im nechelko shu'ubar, shu'ubar posel v'eino machel, div Rabbi Yossi. The reason why the Avdei Tzon Barzel can't eat truma is because of the ubar. Once again, the ubar now is a shareholder in his estate. And as such, again, either he's a czar or he's an eino machel, whichever svar you want to go with. And so therefore, they're going to be that fetus is going to block his avadim from eating truma. Okay, that is all. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishamaviv Habas Ma'acheles Haben Eino Machil. So we are going to explain this momentarily. Okay, the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so hold that thought. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer Zecharim Yochlu Kulan. And the Rashbi says that as far as the Zecharim are concerned, so Yochlu Kulan, they're all allowed to eat. However, Nikevos lo Yochlu Shema Yitzeh Uber Zachar Ve'in Labanos B'Makom Ben Klum. Okay, so let's say that the Kohen dies, leaving only sons. Ah. So if you left only sons, perfect. So then leaving only sons, perfect. Meaning the sons are allowed to eat truma. And as far as the fetus is concerned, the fetus can be disregarded. We'll explain why in just a moment. However, nikevos, but if all they have are just daughters, so lo yochlu, then the avadim are not allowed to eat truma. Why? Because shem yimse uber zachar, vein labanos, memakam aben. Because there is now a fetus inside. And what is this fetus going to be? We don't know. And the fetus could very well be a boy. And if the fetus is a boy, so what does that mean? It means that the boy is going to be Yorish, all those Avadim. And the girls, of course, get none of the Yerusha. So right now, when the Kohen dies, he left only daughters but a pregnant woman. So now, on account of the fact that this baby may be a boy, so now the avadim are not going to be able to eat, meaning during the pregnancy. After birth, of course, so now we're all good. Okay, but during the pregnancy, the avadim will not be able to eat. My irya shema yimsa uber zachar. Typically, denekeva nami pasla. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So, the Rashbi said, you never know, the fetus may be a boy. The Gemara says, okay, even if the fetus may be a girl, that presents a problem. Meaning, because remember, while the fetus is not able, is not a capacitator, is not going to enable the avadim to eat. So now you have a shareholder that will withhold the avadim's ability to eat. So what difference does it make whether the fetus is a boy or a girl? So the Gemara says, you're right. That's a good point. Chad avod kamar. Chad nekev nami pasla v'oh shem yimse uber zachar v'ein labanos b'makom ben klum. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. Both points stand very well. Okay. Now. Zecharim yochlu v'aika ubar. So the Gemara says, now, in the case where they were all boys, so we said, okay, so if the Kohen dies leaving all boys and a pregnant wife, So the boys can eat, the avadim can eat truma. So the Gemara says, va'ika uvar. The Gemara says, wait one second. There's a fetus. So kasavar, ein choshishim lemiuta. So the Gemara gives one of two possible answers in terms of how to explain it. Number one, ein choshishim lemiuta, as we're now on the top of the Amud Beis, because what is the concern regarding the fetus? Remember, there already are boys that are born. And so the fetus inside, so the Rashbi says, do I have to worry about the fetus? Or the Rashbi says, no, you don't have to worry about the fetus. Why not? Because let's go over the possibilities. Possibility number one, fetus is a girl, right? Let's call that a 50% chance. I'm going to adjust the numbers in just a moment. Okay, so what does that mean? If it's a girl, so obviously she's not a shareholder. But what if it's a boy? The boy is a shareholder. So you have a 50-50, but it's not really 50-50 because there's also a possibility, let's call it 10%. Okay, my numbers are made up, but it doesn't matter. It's all going to result in the same, into the same conclusion. Let's say 10% chance of a nafel. Okay, so there are really, if I break it down, so what am I looking at over here? 45% chance of it being a girl, 35% chance of being a boy, and a 10% chance of being a nafel. So what are my chances now that this fetus is going to be a shareholder? Less than 50%. So the Rashbi will tell you that even though, but still, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good chance. Yes, that's true, but still less than 50%. Since there's a less than 50% chance that the fetus inside is going to be a shareholder, so Rashbi says it can be disregarded. That's one. The Gemara says, alternatively, maybe no. For 45%, I would tell you that that's something to worry about. You can't just simply disregard 45%. Here's a way to resolve, and that is that we'll just simply assign and allocate the estate to the Yorshim. We're allowed to do that? 100%. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Yisomim Shabbal Lachlok B'nichli Aviyim, Beis Amamidim Lam, Apotropos Ubar Lam, Chelek Yafa, Higdilo Yicholim Limcho. So, let's say you have an apotropos, a custodian, a trustee, who goes ahead and divides the estate to the Yisomim, to the orphans, so they can do so. Now, when they get older, can they appeal? So that's a machlokas. But right now, our focus is on Rav Nachman. Meaning, according to Shmuel, their appeal can be made later in life. And Rav Nachman, the day Amar, he gdilo en yichol limchos, the imke makoch based in Yafet. And according to Rav Nachman, no appeal. So in other words, Rav Nachman will tell you that a distribution of the estate can be done even while they are children. And by the way, when I say children, one of them is right now currently a fetus. A distribution can be done. And we're going to subscribe to the view of Rav Nachman. And that is that not only are we going to be doing a distribution, but it's unappealable. Is that a right word?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So with no ability to appeal. And now, right, problem resolved. Meaning, so what we're going to do is that we're going to enable the Kohanim to eat. There's a current shareholder we're going to allow the Avadim to eat. But there's a current shareholder who currently cannot feed them, i.e. the fetus inside the mother. Yes, that's true. And we're going to assume, and this is where it gets complicated, and we're going to assume that the chances of it being a shareholder is less than 50%, but so what? In other words, a potential shareholder rests inside of the mother. Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll just simply allocate, right? You get this, you get this, you get this, and in our allocation, what we'll do is we'll assign the avadim to the children who are currently here, who have the ability to be machil. It's more than brera, meaning it's a real division of the estate. So, and then the fetus, well, the fetus will get a equal portion of the estate, just simply not the avadim. Okay, so there is a way to navigate according to the Rashbi, and that's why the Rashbi will tell you that even though there's a fetus inside, the avadim can go ahead and can eat the truma.
If the fetus is a male, didn't we say that there was a czar? So why isn't that an issue?
No, if the fetus is a male, so he's a shareholder and preventing their ability to eat truma.
Right.
Okay. Right. Correct. Okay.
Because he's a czar.
One of two possibilities. Either because he's a czar or just simply because he's an enomolid. One of those two possibilities. Okay, we're gonna pause. We're going to stop over here and let us just quickly wrap up everything we saw today. Number one, we finished up the discussion regarding Nichsei Tzon Barzel And at the end of the marriage, can she collect her nechzei tzon barzel? The answer is yes. Now again, up to the appraised value. Anything above the appraised value, so we concluded she can also collect, but obviously she's going to have to pay for it. Okay. But in other words, that was a machlokas, and the conclusion of the Gemara is she can collect her nechzei tzon barzel up to the appraised value, even above the appraised value, but she's going to have to pay for it. That's number one. Number two, and clearly the more difficult discussion of today, and that is going to be the late Kohen's wife left pregnant, and whether or not the Avadim are at this juncture able to eat Truma. Rav Yossi says no, they can't eat, the Avadim cannot eat Truma. And the reason why they can't eat Truma is because that fetus inside is going to be a blocker. That fetus is going to inhibit their ability to eat Truma. Why? So why for Rav Yossi? So two svaras that were floated in the Gemara. One, because the current status of the fetus is that he is kone, he acquires, but he's a czar. So right now, one of the Avadim's owners, even if there are other children, one of the Avadim's owners is a shareholder that will not allow him to eat because he's currently a czar, as a fetus. The other possibility, the other way to say it is that, no, the fetus is a shareholder, but with the inability to feed others. He's an eino machil. An eino yulud, eino machil. That's another svara that's floated. Which of these svaras seems to be the more accepted viewpoint? So the second one, right? The Rav Yosef viewpoint. That's the one that's quoted by the Rambam, which is a yulud machil and eino yulud eino machil. Okay. And as we learn now, Rav Yosef is making an unbelievable assumption, which is that the fetus inside is a shareholder, and the Gemara noted that Shmuel does paskin that way. Meaning you can make kinyanim with fetuses. Right? It sounds strange. It's a davar shelo balaola, meaning the fetus is not yet born. But nevertheless, you can make kinyanim with fetuses. That's the accepted viewpoint of Shmuel. Shmuel subscribes to Reb Yossi. Okay, and then we finished off today with a brisa. The brisa had three opinions amongst the Tanaim: Reb Yossi, Reb Yishmael, Reb Yossi, and the Rashbi. Reb Yossi we're already familiar with. The Rashbi we clarified. We just finished clarifying. And that middle sheet, the Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yossi, please come back tomorrow. Okay.